Good morning.
My apologies.
I left my computer at home, and we were about, I don't know, 6 or 8 minutes into the journey, and then it said, "You didn't brought the computer." To which I responded, well, I won't say how I responded. I just said, "Oh dear." I've left the computer at home. And so here we are. I was talking with one of the leaders of the congregation this week, and we were just discussing how all of us have some issues, some concerns, worries, hurts, and pains in our life. And as I come up here every Sunday, and I look around the congregation, and I know you as families, and I know you as individuals, some of you more than others, better than others, but in our body, as this congregation, there's lots of pain and hurt, unresolved issues. Many of us, I count myself in this now, undergone serious surgery, and yet, in amongst all that, we show up. We show up. We come here every Sunday as a fellowship, as a family of believers, to fellowship with one another, to love one another, and to bring our praise and worship to our God. Because in amongst all of life's challenges and difficulties, God walks with us. And I know some of you have issues that go back many, many years, many, many, many years, and yet you've remained faithful. And you show up week after week, year after year. You serve where you can, and you support and encourage. And that's not going to change. This side of eternity, this world will have much suffering. Jesus told us that. In this world, you will have much suffering. But I have overcome the world. That's why we call him Lord and Savior. That's why we come. Because in amongst all of that goes on in our lives, he has overcome the world. And we've come to worship him. Amen. So even though you are in the midst of a struggle today, this week, and this yet again this year it has not been resolved, has it? It's still there. You know, I know some of you are on medications that you will have to take for the rest of your lives. But in that, God is with us. God walks with us. And if you will hold his hand, he will see you through. Because as he said, he has overcome the world. So as we gather here today, let's just pause and say, thank you, God, for your faithfulness. And thank you for the faithfulness you've put in my heart. That I will show up here, and I will continue to show up here every week I can. And I will fellowship and I will worship with this family, with this congregation. So let's prepare our hearts today for worship. In amongst everything that's going on, let's still lift our voices and our physical bodies up to our Heavenly Father and give him the praise that he deserves. Because in all these concerns, all these issues that are going on, he is shaping us, he is molding us, he is making us more and more Christ-like. Remember, Christ suffered. He didn't have a house to live in. He never had an address. Okay? He didn't own anything. When he wanted to show the example of the coin, the denarius, like whose image is on this, he had to ask for a coin. He wasn't able to put his hand in his pocket and pull out some of his own money because he didn't have any. And he is the one we call Lord and Savior. And he's in the struggles of life, we are being shaped and reformed and reshaped until we look more and more and more like Jesus. So let's just submit ourselves to his hands as he reshapes us. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks and praise for this day again. And Lord, you've gathered us here. You know what's going on in every home. You know what's going on in every life, in every marriage, in every relationship. Husband, father, wife and mother. You know what's going on in our Lord, yet we come. We come every Sunday faithfully because we want to meet with you and bring you worship. And Lord, so we submit ourselves and all our trials and tribulations to your hand as you shape us and mold us and make us more like your Son, Jesus Christ.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you've gathered us here on this beautiful sunny Sunday morning so that we can worship you with our whole hearts and our whole beings. And we pray that you would just be with us, that you would guide us, and that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit as we worship you this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks for all the blessings you have showered upon us, and we know that you will continue to shower on us as individuals, as families, and as a congregation. Lord, please now, Lord, we ask you to receive from us these, our tithes and our offerings. Lord, we ask you to bless them, and Lord, we ask you to give us wisdom as we use them prudently for your kingdom work. Hear our prayer, Lord, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, can I have the all the children that are here come forward, please? That includes grandchildren. Come on, Jovi. How are you? Anybody recognize that up there? Yes. What is that?
The Olympics.
Yeah. The Olympic symbol. What goes on at the Olympics? Sports. Sports. What kind of sports?
Summer or winter Olympics.
So this is the Summer Olympics we're going to refer to today.
I don't know. I don't watch it.
Jumping.
Jumping. Anything else?
Swimming.
Swimming.
Rowing.
Rowing.
Gymnastics.
You've seen the next slide, right? He's cheating. He's got the next slide. So put it up. What kind of sport is this? No, it's not a dragon boat. It's a rowing. It's rowing. It's a particular type of sport. Okay, just put the next slide up. What's this kind of sport? High jump, yes, that is the name of the sport. Flip back to the previous slide. Team sports and individual sports. Okay, scroll through, got a couple more. High jump.
I don't know anything.
Cycling.
Yeah.
Javelin. Leave it there. Different kinds of sports, okay? Some are team sports and some are individuals, okay? There's a difference. See, in an individual sport, you do your own training. Anybody here on a sports team? Anybody play on a sports team? What is it? Soccer?
Soccer.
Anybody else do any individual sport? So you do lacrosse? But you're doing it, right? It's a team sport, right? And there's a difference between a team sport and individual sport. Individual sport, you train yourself, you are a coach and a trainer, and you're trying to do the very best you can on your own. Team sport is very different. Can you scroll back to the rowers? These rowers, okay, have to work in unison. They have to put their oars in and pull back all at the same time, otherwise their oars start to crash on each other. Okay, and it doesn't work. If one side's pulling harder than the other, what's going to happen to the boat?
It'll spin.
It'll just go round and round in a circle. In a team sport, okay, we all have to work together. We all have to pull at the same pace. We all have to be sure that we're going in the same direction. Okay? All of us are on a team of sorts in our families, right? Okay? And we all have to pull together in our families, don't we? We kind of have to get along, right? We kind of have to get along, right? Okay, do you always do everything your mom and dad told you?
that the old curos do, that the more stuff. And the perfect family, that's right. No, we don't. Sometimes it breaks down. Even in the family team, it breaks down. And we get some tears and we get some angry voices, mum or dad. Dad raises his voices and slams the table and says, that's enough. Okay? And then we all pay attention, right? Okay. But in the church, that's also, if you like, if I can use that expression, it's a team sport. It's a team sport. We've all got our place on the team. We've got to be pulling in the same direction. If someone's not able to sort of pick it up, we go and help them. And we lift everybody up. Okay, that's what today's message is about. It's about being on the team, working together, and being, as the scripture calls the word, unity. Actually working together. So I'm going to pray for you. You're not going downstairs. You're going to stay up. You're going to help me with the message today. Is that okay? Do you think you could form a team and work together, okay, and get something done?
Yes.
They're saying yes. I am very dubious. But there we go. We'll give it our best shot today. Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks. It's a beautiful day. Lord, thank you for bringing us all here today. And Lord, we just pray that you will inspire each one of us to understand our role on this team, the team you have called Christian Baptist Church. Lord, we pray that we will find our place on that team and pull all in the same direction as we move into the weeks and months ahead, as we make decisions about going forward and capturing your vision for who we are to be in the years ahead going forward. Lord, I pray a blessing on these children, their homes, their families, their parents. Lord, I pray for peace in their homes and joy and love and laughter to be shared. Hear us, O Lord, for we pray in Jesus' name. Okay, let's pray. Let's go to a time of just prayer. So Father God, we give you thanks again. And we've gathered here to bring worship to you, but also we've gathered here to bring our individual prayers, our individual supplications, our needs, our wants, our hurts, and our desires before you, for you are a loving Father and you care about our needs. Lord, on this day, on September 11th, we're particularly reminded of the events of 15 years ago, Lord, where terrorism attacked this continent, particularly New York City. And Lord, we pray for those who lost loved ones, that a couple of thousand people were killed, Lord, in those events. And Lord, we lift up them and their families to you. Lord, as the nation remembers those terrible events. And Lord, while we pray against all forms of violence and intimidation and domination that goes on in the world, we pray for those who commit these crimes. Lord, we pray that your spirit will come upon them. We pray that they will hear the words of the gospel, that peace and security only come through the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for all those families who had teachers and students return to school this week. Lord, we just pray that this will be a wonderful school year for all of our students, all of our children and grandchildren. And Lord, we just pray that you will guide those teachers and those administrators. Lord, particularly with the trouble and turmoil that's going on in some of our school boards, Lord, we just pray that you will bring wisdom to the people who have to make decisions. Lord, pray for our governments at different levels. Lord, we're living in a time and a culture and a society that's increasingly turning away from the clear word of God as the compass for guiding political decisions. And we keep turning our back on God's wisdom and we lean towards human wisdom, which will always fail us. And also we pray that you will bring godly men and women into leadership in our country at a provincial, federal, and municipal level. We pray that you inspire such people to run for office and to hold up the banner of your truth and your wisdom against the wisdom of this age, which is dark. Lord, again, we pray for our families, we pray for peace and love to be shared between husband and wife, mother and father, parent and child. Lord, where there has been conflict, Lord, we pray there will be repentance and forgiveness. And where there is estrangement, Lord, between parent and child, we pray, Lord, that you will bring parent and child back together. And where there is distance, just because of geography, Lord, we pray that the phone calls, letters, emails, texts will increase. So parent and child, different members of different families, can stay connected. Lord, we pray for our congregation, Lord, because we have difficult and challenging decisions to make in the weeks and months ahead. Lord, we struggle financially. Lord, you know the answer to that. And Lord, we want you to inspire us to understand how to use our tithes and offerings wisely and prudently for your kingdom work. Lord, we also pray for generous hearts who will continue to financially support the work of this mission that you have established. I know each one of you have come here today with your own prayers and requests of God. You come with your own maybe anxieties and stresses on your heart that you want to bring before him. So let's have a few moments of silence and quietness while we approach the throne of grace and we bring to our Heavenly Father our thoughts, our needs, our words of praise, and our prayers of request. Father God, we know that you are attentive to all of our thoughts and all that is going on in our hearts. We ask you to hear the prayers of your people this morning. And Lord, where those prayers have been urgent, Lord, we pray that you would have a swift response. And while you walk with us, Lord, give us the confidence to know that you walk with us through all of life's challenges and difficulties. Hear us, O Lord, for we have prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. Every once in a while in the life of a congregation, there is a joyful occasion where we accept new members into our fellowship. People have joined us, and there have been a lot of new people have come and joined us for worship now for some time, and I encourage you to consider, if you've been with us for some time, consider saying, well, why don't I join? Why don't I become a member? Well, it's my pleasure today to ask Bernie and Dale Taylor to come forward to be accepted into membership in our church. Now, this is a particularly joyful occasion, not because it's just because it's Dale and Bernie, that's joyful enough, but because Dale and Bernie have been members among us in years past, and as they return from having moved away a few years ago and have returned back, I discovered in talking with Dale that she became a member first of this church. Am I allowed to say that?
Yes.
Dale became a member of this church the year I was born. Okay, I turned 66 in August. So Dale became a member of Christian Baptist Church in 1950.
Yes, and I actually started kindergarten. When I started kindergarten, I was 5 years old. I started coming to Sunday school.
5 years old. That goes back a little bit.
Yeah.
So we welcome you back into fellowship of Christian Baptist Church this morning. And I'm going to pray with you. Okay. Father God, I give you thanks that you bring people home when they've been away and they've come back. And Lord, we welcome Bernie and Dale back into our fellowship today, Lord. We ask you to bestow on them a great sense of belonging and ownership and participation as they join with us in the journey forward. Lord, we pray your health on them Lord, and your long life on them. Lord, we just pray for their home and their family. And Lord, we pray that your peace, the peace that passes all understanding, will be with them each and every day of their lives. Hear us, O Lord, for we pray again in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's welcome them into our family. When someone comes into membership in the church, they get a certificate indicating that they are now formally members of Christian Baptist Church. Welcome. God bless you.
Thank you.
Last week we, if you like, celebrated or observed Labor Day, and we talked about the whole thing about Labor Day is that recognition of work beginning and vacation time ending. And so as we mark that return to school and return to work, we also noted that the church also returns to work in the fall season, and small groups will be starting up, Sunday school will be starting up, Bible studies will begin once again. The groups that meet to govern the life of the church, they will begin to meet again on a monthly basis. So today's message, I've chosen the passage from Ephesians. It talks about how we should work together. Yes, we know we've got work to do in the church, but how should we do that work? So I've chosen Ephesians 4, 1-16 as the text, and there's some key verses there that we need to focus in on, and we'll do that as we move forward through the lesson today. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks again, and we ask you now to bless the reading of your word today. Ephesians 4, 1-16. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, there is one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament,
grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Lord, bless the reading of your word today. Now this text, we talk about going to work in the church and the various different roles that we have, but in this text, and many other times in the New Testament, there are calls for unity. Jesus' one prayer to the Father was, Lord, I pray that they may be one, as we are one. Now, we have to put this text that Paul is writing in context and ask ourselves, well, where is Paul at this particular time? He's not kicking back on a recliner at the beach, just wondering what letter he should write, what nice words he should write to the church in Ephesus. Now, as we turn forward to Ephesians 6:20, he says, I'm an ambassador in chains. He's in prison. He's in a Roman prison. Okay? He could be executed at any time. These could be the very last words he writes. He may not even get to the end of the sentence that he's writing before a soldier comes in and says, it's your time. And so it's important for him. It's uppermost in his mind is that we have unity in the church. They must have had a difficult time back there. From a number of times that Paul mentions this, they must have had a difficult time back there in the early days of the church of people not working well together. Doesn't happen today, but back then they must have had a difficult time with people not working well together. Now Paul's not the first one to address this issue. It seems to be that the people of God, or just human beings in general, have a real difficult time working together. Back in Ecclesiastes, Solomon writes, two are better off than one because they can work together more effectively. If one falls down, the other can pick him up. But if someone's alone and falls, who's there to help? Two men can resist an attack that would defeat one man alone. And he ends that wonderful passage with this statement that we are using in wedding ceremonies, a rope of three cords is hard to break. When we bind together in love, it's hard to break us apart. So teamwork is critical. Teamwork is part of who we are called to be as the church. Moses had a team. He didn't do it on his own. Gideon had his 300 men. He didn't do what God called him to do on his own. David had his 30 mighty men. He didn't do what God was wanting him to do on his own. The work of the kingdom is always, always teamwork. In the book of Nehemiah, when they're rebuilding the wall of the temple, the work was tough and they're under constant physical attack. So Nehemiah organized the work into teams. We have teams of laborers, and teams of guards. Some would be working all day, others would be standing on guard, each to their assigned post. And then they would swap around to give everybody a change of pace. The guards would become the workers would become the guards. He posted people around the wall by families and groups so that they could encourage and support one another. Unfortunately, we human beings don't form into teams very easily. One football coach, American football coach, said it's easy to get good players. You can go and buy a good player, that's easy. He says getting them to play together, that's hard. Getting them to play as a team is difficult. See, the way the world has conditioned us, we're conditioned to autonomy. We're very, very individualistic. We want to choose what we do according to our own will and our own desires. And we think everybody else should conform to the way I think it should be done. And it's interesting because human beings are the only ones that have that, the only life forms, if you like, that have that ability and willingness to act autonomously and choose their behaviors. All other animals are very instinctive, very predictable in the way they live, what they eat, what their habitat is like, the way they raise their young. They're all very, very predictable. But human beings are not. Human beings make choices. But here's the difference between an unsaved human being and someone who claims to be a follower of Christ. The follower of Christ chooses to put aside their freedom to choose. And they choose instead to do what God tells them to do. They choose instead to subordinate this ability, innate ability we have to make choices. And we subordinate that to the move of the Holy Spirit in us as individuals. That's hard enough as it is. But when we form together as a family, as a congregation, it makes it even harder for us to submit to the will of the Spirit moving the whole body in a particular direction. That's very, very challenging for us to do. And it's impossible to do without the Holy Spirit guidance. We have to subordinate ourselves and our will to the will of the Holy Spirit. The Christian life then is an invitation. It's an invitation to take on God's priorities, to join God in his mission to the world, to put aside all our wants, needs, and desires, and take on the kingdom of God work as our priority. We need to submit to the headship of Christ within us and move under the power of the Holy Spirit in unity and teamwork. Do you want to put through a couple of more slides? That hasn't come out very well. That's good enough. That's good enough. I've got a little object lesson here for the children to participate in and to show an example of teamwork.
Okay, am I on the other microphone? Is that there? Is that there now? Is that there now?
Yeah, that's coming through. You can hear me. I'm over here. What I want to do is form two teams. I want a team and I want one individual. I've asked Nat here to do this. So we're going to try and build this canopy. That's a canopy, a four-post canopy with a sheet around the top. Okay, and I want a team, so I'll take you, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You come over here, working with Tammy, and Nadia, you go over here, and you work on your own. Okay? Okay.
You see that?
No? Don't cheat for that. No, we're cheering for teamwork here. So. Now, here's your four poles. Here's your canopy. You go and build your canopy over there. Now, you guys come on over here. You've got your sheet here. You've got some other. I want you to be able to put the canopy on, attach the corns, okay? Tammy will help you. What we see here, what's going on here, is someone trying to do it all on their own, okay? And she may have a modicum of success on her own, but what we've got is a team over here trying to figure it out, okay, how to do it. And they're trying to work under the guidance of a leader there. Because what we recognize in the church, as the church comes to work on different projects, is that God has ordained certain roles in the church for leadership. And it says there in verse 11 that he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. I don't think that's an exhaustive list. It's called the fivefold offices of the church. But there are other jobs in the church, simple jobs like running a vacuum cleaner, okay? Tidying up the bulletins after Sunday morning, putting the coffee on, taking out the blue bins and putting them by the curb. These are all jobs and tasks that people need to do under the leadership of the church and under the guidance and wisdom of the Holy Spirit as we respond in submission to God's calling. And it says in this passage in Ephesians that all of this work and all that leadership is to prepare God's people for works of service. That's right. The church is called to be a church of people serving, working together in unity, trying to get difficult jobs done. How are we doing over here? And it says there, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. We are built up then when we serve. And we're built up especially when we serve together and in unity. And we need everyone on the team. Wow, have they done it? What did you have that Nadia doesn't have?
Strange baskets of tea.
And?
Tea.
Tea and? Okay. Someone give you some wisdom?
Yes.
Mrs. Brophy, did Mrs. Brophy, did Tammy help you?
Yes.
All right. You had a go.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Where did you get those from? From Tammy. Here's the image I'm trying to project here. They had the same equipment that Nadia did. They worked as a team, but Tammy, in the role of like the Holy Spirit, brought some additional gifts. There's so much we can do on our own, in our human abilities, and we are gifted and educated and able human beings. There's so much we can do on our own, but when the Holy Spirit comes along, or Tammy, okay, and brings these gifts, the work is able to be accomplished as the team works together. Now, do you see someone else struggling to get their job done? What should we do? Go and help. Can you go and help? Show Nadia now how to do it as a team.
Okay. Tie the corners of the
There's a story about a municipal truck is driving down the road. Two guys get out of the truck, and one digs a hole and goes back into the truck. And the other guy then gets out and fills in the hole. And the truck drives 100 feet up the road, and the same thing happens. One guy gets out, digs a hole, gets back in the truck, and the next guy gets out and fills in the hole. And it goes on and on down the road like this. And the farmer coming by sees they're going to fight now. The farmer comes by and says, what are you guys doing? So we're the tree planters. And he says, well, where are the trees? He says, oh, the guy puts the trees in the holding shop. It's everybody has to show up. Everybody has to take their part. The point that Paul is making here, certainly in verse 4, is that there's one body and one spirit. He's saying that there's no lone Christians. The very nature of being a follower of Christ says, I'm part of a community. You can't stay at home and say, I'm a Christian. It's an oxymoron. But a Christian is part of a body. He's part of a local community of believers. Wow, well done, guys. All right. You guys have done very, very well. Thank you. Put it down and go sit down. Thank you very much. Wonderful. Now, while you were working as a team, kids, did anybody decide that they were going to be the boss? Did anybody say, you've got to do it my way? Or did you figure it out together what was the best way for things to go? We figured it out as a team. We put our best heads together. Nadia thought she had the best head, and said, as it turned out, you didn't. You needed other people. In the work in the church, there's no boss. The head of the church is Jesus Christ. And each one of us is gifted. And we're asked to bring that gift. And I'm not trying to suggest that packing tape and string and a pair of scissors are gifts of the Spirit. But you get the idea. There are things we need that we just don't have in ourselves. And they come to us as we work together under the Spirit. Teamwork is absolutely essential. In Mark 6, Jesus was sending his disciples out to do ministry, and he didn't send them out alone, he sent them out in twos. He sent them out in teams. Right from the very beginning, the church has been a team sport, and we need everybody on the team. When we get on the team, we need to understand that we have so much abilities ourselves, but we need to absolutely depend on, rely on, and call on the Holy Spirit to guide us and give us those additional gifts to get the work of God's kingdom done. And remember, it's not our work, it's not our mission, it's God's mission. And the invitation is to join him in his work. Subordinating ourselves to one another, subordinating ourselves to whatever God has called us as this church to do in the weeks and months and years ahead. Recently, in our own context, in our own church, we wrote a mission statement, and we used the word radical. And we have a sense that God is calling us to a radical change in who we are and how we represent ourselves as the body of Christ. He said that we are called to live a radical relationship in Jesus Christ. And that will mean changes. It will mean radical changes going ahead. So we can pick up the mission and the commission of the church and take the gospel to the people of Newmarket. Everybody is invited. There's no lone rangers. Church work is a team sport. I was looking at the Olympics. Let's scroll it down one more. I didn't put that slide in. I was looking back at the Olympics saying, how do people get to go to be on the Olympics? Obviously, they've got to be reasonably good at their sport in their particular country and win something that makes their country want to put them forward. But I read the news release from August the 5th, 2015. 1 year before Rio started. And it came from the International Olympic Committee, the IOC, President Tom Bach, today, August the 5th, 2015, officially invited the world's athletes to take part in South America's first ever Olympic Games. Officially invited. The Olympic Committee said, come. Athletes of the world, come. Participate. Compete. Show us what you've got. Let's find out who the best in the world is. And it's an invitation. And it's like that on the team sport called church. It's an invitation by God to all of us. Come, participate, show us what you've got. Let's work together. Let's work in unity. Let's share some joy and some hope for the future of Christian Baptist Church and the community of Newmarket. That's the invitation. Join the team. Let us pray. Let us pray. Paul's text was, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Recognize and understand what your peculiar or particular work of service is, and grow in your faith, stay in unity, love one another. Lord, our prayer this morning is for unity within the body. Lord, let no one of us make a pronouncement that I know best. But let's humbly hear one another, listen to the Spirit speaking through old and young alike. And Lord, open our ears to hear your voice calling us to your service. Lord, we ask you to bless each one here. Lord, bless those who couldn't be with us today. And Lord, let us catch a vision for teamwork, guided and directed by the Holy Spirit as we go forward. Hear us, O Lord, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe we're having a party. So come on downstairs and have a time of refreshment and fellowship with us this morning. We're celebrating my return from surgery and bypass, and we're just glad to be back. So come down and join us. As you go from this place today, go knowing that you are called onto the most wonderful team sport that this world has ever known, and that's the team sport of being part of Christ's church. And we're going to pull together and work together and move under the leadership direction of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace. Amen.